There are so many things I could say, but I'm not. No, I enjoy the choir and our instrumentalists, and they've helped me worship this morning. So I think one more time, let's say an amen to God and amen to them with our hands. Would you do that? Well, we've been spending the past few weeks in worship, in both services, exploring the parable of all parables. That story about a father and both his sons and life on the farm and life far away. You know, the parable of the prodigal son or the loving father or the guy that nobody really liked. You can call it many things. We've talked one Sunday about the younger brother, the younger son, who took the really long way home. Last week, Josh and Jeff talked about the older brother who found a way to leave home without ever setting foot off the property. Today, we focus on the father, who, after all, is the central lead figure in the parable. And when we do, we discover the core theme of the parable. It is this: there's a welcome waiting. There's a welcome waiting. Right there in the parable, there's a welcome waiting for the younger son. There's a welcome waiting, though he does not know it while he's on the road. And truth to be told, he cannot imagine his father actually welcoming him. Maybe he'll take me in as a slave, but he's not going to be happy about it. That's what he thinks. There's a welcome waiting, though the younger son can no longer imagine himself as his father's son. That's just off the table as far as he is concerned. He's consumed by feelings of guilt, regret, and shame. And whether or not he knows it while he's walking that road back home, he's bought into the very values he sought to get away from when he ran away from home. He's bought into the community's assumption and his home religion's assumption that if ever, ever, ever you disrespect your father, there's no going home again. It's over. It's finished. You're done. But there's a welcome waiting for him anyway. And when that welcome comes, it's not watered down. It's not a pale kind of welcome. The younger son receives the welcome due a genuine son from his father. There's that ring on the finger. That's a visible symbol of his place in the family, not on the outskirts, not on the fringe. There's this best robe in which he's clothed, a visible symbol of his father's active concern and love for him. There are the sandals, which seem to you and me to be a small thing, but slaves went barefoot and sons did not in that first century world. Everything the father does there on the roadside as he greets his son is designed to say, "You are my son, my genuine son, not my son on the fringe. You're the real deal." There's a welcome waiting just for you. And what I love about the welcome is it's not quiet or hidden. It's not a quiet or hidden welcome. The father throws a party. Now, I suppose that was bad news for a certain fatted calf, but it was pretty good news for everyone else. The father throws a party, but what you and I sometimes miss, because we're not first century Jewish people living in the area of Judea and Palestine, what we sometimes miss is there were no private parties. Not one. Even when a Pharisee threw a party, the Pharisee hoped that people would come and watch them eat. But in your average small village, your average farming community, your little town out there in the hinterlands of Palestine, parties were always public affairs. The people who heard Jesus tell this parable for the first time would immediately have imagined what the father did. The father sent out messengers with invitations to all his neighbors. Every single one of them, whether he liked them or not, you didn't exclude anybody in that world. He sent out messages to all of his neighbors, and the message went something like this: "We're throwing a party. Food and drink for everyone. Come celebrate with me. My son who was lost has been found. No RSVP required." And everyone standing there around Jesus as he told the parable would also have immediately imagined the response of all the neighbors to the invitation. They would have been scandalized. Oh, this is the same guy who let his son disrespect him. This is the same guy who gave his son this demanded money and watched him walk away and didn't disown him. And now he's doing it again. Shame, shame, shame. They would have responded by refusing to go to the party. They would have responded by talking among themselves and saying, he must disown that boy. It's the only thing right under God and according to custom to do. There's no going home. And here's the remarkable thing about the father in the parable. He is not dismayed or deterred by the response of the neighbors, by the response of other people who share his faith, who share his culture. He is not put off by their response, but instead he goes ahead and throws the party. He welcomes his son back as a son, as his child, and he parties down. You see, the father's welcome, both personal and public, made it possible for the younger son to start to live again as a son and nothing less. Of course, there's another son in the story. There's the older son, the one who stayed home but really didn't belong there anymore because emotionally and spiritually, and in terms of attitude, he walked away from his father as surely as did the younger son. But he's there now, and he just can't see a truth. There's a welcome waiting for him too. That's right. There's a welcome waiting for the older son as well, only he can't see it. In fact, when he hears there's a party going on, he interprets it as an insult to himself. How dare my father do this to me, as if everything's about him. So he stays out in the field and he keeps working, he keeps scratching at the dirt. Somebody's going to notice that somebody around here is continuing to do their job. Somebody's going to take pity on me. Somebody's going to come and say, your father's treating you so poorly. And no one does. He responds to his father's action with the younger brother by beginning to worry about what that action is going to cost him in terms of his inheritance and in terms of what the neighbors will think of him. And so he begins to try and shame his father. He repudiates his relationship with his own brother. He freezes himself out of the party. And what does the father do in response? He does the same thing with the older brother that he did with the younger brother. Much as he ran down the road to meet and greet the returning younger brother, he now goes out where the older brother is sulking and finds him. He goes to him. Much as he did with the returning son, he now assures his older son that he too is the father's child. Nothing's changed. Much as he did with the younger son, he now assures the older child that he's provided for now and forever, that he's losing nothing because of the welcome given his younger brother. Absolutely nothing. And much as he does with the younger son, he invites him to start to act like a son. To come in and join the party. To come in and welcome his brother as a brother and nothing less. And so to start to live the life of a child of the father. You see, as it turns out, there's always a welcome waiting for any and all of us with God. It's that any and all of us phrase that gives us trouble, isn't it? But there's always a welcome waiting for you and the other person too. And here's the gospel truth. We can shut ourselves out away from the welcome by refusing to accept it. We can just shut ourselves away from the welcome by refusing to accept it. We can shut ourselves away from the welcome by attempting to shut others out. But God goes right on with the welcome. God goes right on refusing to play by the rules we've written for God and for others. God goes right on and throws that party anyway, and it is a scandal to many. But good news to everyone who chooses to come. It's a scandal, I know. But it's the way God goes about being God, isn't it? Now let me tell you my prayer. My prayer that I try to pray at least once a day in a very brief form, but my prayer is that today or one day very soon, you, I, all of us, will accept God as God is and enter into the party God throws. I offer that to you this morning in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Pray with me. Our God, deliver us from trying to flee from you. Deliver us from the fears we have of returning to you. Deliver us from our need, whatever may drive it, of trying to write the rules for you. Deliver us from our need, whatever may drive it, of trying to say who can be in and who can be out in your party. And help us instead just to act like sons and daughters of God, to come to the party you throw, to live with you as you would have us live with you, and to live with one another in the same fashion. For we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who gave us the parable of all parables. Amen. I invite you to join the party. Maybe you've been thinking for, well, who knows how long, about becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. You can make that decision today, start that walk today, and we will help you all we can along the way. We will welcome you. Maybe you've been holding back, looking around and saying, well, if that's the kind of people God runs with, I don't want anything to do with God. Well, come on in anyway, because we're all in it together, and we'll help you. God gives welcome. Will you accept it? Let's stand and sing. You respond.